That's why they're the leaders of the Israelites. And then another person is the Nicodemus. Who is this man? How old he is? We have not much idea about how old he is, but in fact, he won't be about in his teens. He should be about 30, 40, right, or 50, something. This one came to Jesus because something puzzled him. Because when he saw Jesus, he found Jesus is a different person. He's totally different from other Pharisees. That's why he came to Jesus. He wants to know about Jesus. He knows Jesus is not a usual person, not a common prophet. That's why he came to find Jesus. He came to find Jesus at night because he was afraid that if people seeing him going to look for Jesus, people will have a lot of suspicions upon him because he is a Pharisee and the Pharisees are against Jesus. That's why he didn't want to come to Jesus openly. He went to see Jesus secretly because he wanted to hide his identity. But Jesus knows what is in his mind. Jesus said directly to him that you must be born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he or she is born again. What is born again? At first, I think born again means transformation. Okay. Later, I found transformation is only change your form only, not the whole change. The change should be inside and outside. That's regeneration. That is rebirth, to born again, not transformation. So it should be born again. The Pharisees are the people that Jesus always blamed on them because they were leaders. The leaders should be what? Should be more committed, should be more upright, should be more righteous, right? But the Pharisees were very righteous, but they were very different. So that's why Jesus blamed these Pharisees, because they are saying something, but they are doing something else. They are the worst, cannot match with their behavior, cannot match with what they are saying. That's why Jesus, in Matthew, he talked about these Pharisees. Woe to you. Woe to you. You're condemned. Woe to you. You are a very piteous person. Teachers of the law and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. Hypocrites means doing something hidingly, not openly. Woe to you, teacher of the law and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. Right? Hypocrites is a very bad word. If somebody says somebody's a hypocrite, and then that one will be very angry. Who are the Pharisees? These are the people that Jesus blamed them. And these Pharisees were hypocrites. Jesus compared them with the snakes. You know, the snakes are very cunning, right? The snakes, we don't like to see the snakes. We like rather to see the other animals, dogs, cats, but we don't like to see the snakes. And they are brood of vipers. Vipers are poisonous snake. How will you escape being condemned by hell, right? They are very committed people. They are very religious. They are the leaders of the Israelites, and they are the teachers of the laws, but they are very judgmental. Judgmental, that means they like to criticize this one, and they want to criticize that one. They are not compassionate enough. They are not kind. Here, in fact, why was there many so many books about the history of Israel? Because from the history, we know what people are doing in the past. And why God wanted to give them so many instructions. In fact, law is another word for instruction. All these instructions, all these guidelines are aiming at helping a person to be good. But they don't know the purpose of the laws in the Old Testament, the five books of Moses. These books were for the goodness of people, but they just understand the superficial meaning. They did not know the background or the inside meaning of all these rules. These rules are for our good. They were the people who cleaned inside the cup and dish. I don't know whether you help your parents to wash your dishes or your cups. One time, when I was in Taiwan, I was having my military training when I was in the university year. One day, a senior officer came to see me, and he looked at my cup. The cup was supposed for the all these training people to have the milk and to have the food in the cup. And they found my cup is not so clean. Because, you know, during those days, we were very busy, a lot of training. And I did not pay much attention in washing the cup. I washed it outside. The inside is so dirty. Jesus blamed those Pharisees. He said, these Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. I don't know how you feel yourself. Sometimes I feel very upset because I want to be good. But in sometimes I cannot do good. Why? Because inside myself, there's something I need to be cleaned. That's why Jesus blamed those Pharisees. In appearance, they are very good. But in fact, they are didn't change inside. This Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. He was afraid to be seen. He wanted to meet Jesus in person. That means have more time to talk to Jesus. I don't know. How do you feel yourself? Just as I said before, sometimes I feel helpless because I'm a human being, right? I have a lot of limitations. Sometimes I need people to help me. Who is the person who can help you? I found my son, my grandson, not my son, my son's son. I have a grandson. He is now six something. He in summer, several months ago, remember we were talking to this very small one. He was 6 years old. He told us that I'm almost grade one. Oh, in September, 2 days later, he's going to in the primary one, grade one. And I found he is very intimate to his father. Whenever he has any problem, he goes to his father, asks for help in these things, in that things, to do the puzzle work and to do to blow the balloon, right, and to climb the stairs. Oh, he is that small one. He is so dependable on his father. I don't know how good is your relationship with your father who is sitting next to you or he is looking after you all the time. Even we are human beings, sometimes we cannot be good. But our Heavenly Father is so good. Our Father is the best person, Heavenly Father, of course. And also our fleshly Father, right? Our Father who gave birth to you. And He is the person who can help you. Jesus went to met Nicodemus. And Nicodemus asked his questions. He came to Jesus at night. In fact, we can come to Jesus at all time. Jesus speak against the unlawful procedure. When Nicodemus went to see Jesus, it was at night. Do you know he get anything from Jesus? After talking to Jesus, was he changed? Yeah. In the paragraph we talked, John 3rd, we didn't know the answer, but in the subsequent chapters, in one chapter, it's about Nicodemus, after seeing Jesus, he changed his attitude. He changed his inside. He talked to Jesus. And also, when Jesus was being prosecuted, the other Pharisees, the priests, want to arrest Jesus. And Nicodemus, he was very brave. He said, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? because the Pharisees, other Pharisees, want to arrest Jesus without good reason, without being on trial. So Nicodemus was brave enough to say this openly to oppose the Pharisees. And the next thing, when Jesus was arrested and was nailed to the cross, when Jesus died, you know, all the disciples went away, escaped for their life. But Nicodemus was the one came forward to ask for the body of Jesus Christ. And he took the myrrh, the aloes, to rob Jesus' body. He was a very brave person. In front of the other Pharisees, in front of the Roman soldiers, he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds, and he used this to rob Jesus' body. He has to do this because he has a respect for Jesus. From this, we can say that Nicodemus was changed. He was regenerated. He had his second birth. Firstly, birth was given by the parents. The second birth is from the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus at that night? You must be born again. You must be regenerated. In my history of being a Christian, I found many of my friends, when we were primary school students, or when we were secondary school students, or even when I was working, some of my friends turned away from Jesus. I think the main reason that they cannot go on being a Christian because they did not change at all. Many people come to church every Sunday, or come to Sunday school, or go to the fellowship. They just want to have fun, to meet people, but they did not meet Jesus. They have no time to meet Jesus. They have time to meet friends, to do this and do that, but they have no time to have a personal time with Jesus Christ. So here, I encourage you, as a young man, it's good time for you to start some private time with Jesus. Going to church is good. Going to Sunday school is good. Going to fellowship is good. But if you go to church only, and you don't have a real meaning of why you're going to church, church is only a place where we can meet, we can encourage each other. But the most important thing is that you have to find some time in your life, in a day, to come to Jesus. What do you do when you come to Jesus? Just pray, or just meditate, or just read the Bible. Have some time being alone with Jesus. Jesus tell him, you must be born again. You have to be born again with water and spirit. Water and spirit. Then you can see the kingdom of God. What is water? Here, water doesn't mean baptism. Even a person is baptized, there's no guarantee that he can be saved. Baptism is only a ceremony. It's a procedure. But the main thing is that you must be born again. Born again with water. Water means God's word. Here in John 15:3, the word of God cleanses those who put their trust in Jesus. And the Bible verse is, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So born of water means clean by God's word. Why we have to be cleaned by God's word? I think you read newspaper, you read storybooks, you read many things. But all these things were written by men. They are men's thinking. But Bible, we believe to be the words of God. Only through God's word, our life can be changed. Only through God's word, we know what is right, what is the right direction. Here in Peter 1, chapter 1, 20, verse 23, let's read together, shall we? Okay, begin. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Right? So water means God's word, through God's imperishable, that means stable, cannot be changed, very firm, because God's words are the foundation of many things. God created the world by his words. So words are so important, right? Here, John first, and the first verse, let's read together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God with God, and the Word was God, right? So you have to be born with water and spirit. Water means God's Word. Holy Spirit. Can we look around? Where can you find Holy Spirit? I think Holy Spirit is just in front of us. Holy Spirit is inside me. Holy Spirit is somewhere here. In fact, God is omnipotent. He's everywhere. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Jesus used the movement of the wind to tell about the work of the Holy Spirit. Wind comes and blows where it wishes. Now I'm here. I feel a little bit cooler because the fan is turning. Right? I cannot see the wind comes from here, comes to me, but I feel I'm cooler. I can feel it is cool, right? The wind is there. We cannot see wind, but we can feel the effect of wind. We cannot see Holy Spirit, but we can see the work of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in our mind. The Holy Spirit works in everywhere because God is in control of everything. You cannot see the wind, and we don't know where it comes from and where it goes. We don't know the origin of the wind and the destination of the wind. We don't know where the wind comes and where the wind goes. We don't know, but we know it is there. If we can control, if we can see, we cannot see the wind, right? But we can see the effect of the wind. We can see the power and effect of the tornado and hurricane. We can see the effect that this destruction, right, or damage caused by these things, but they are there. You cannot see the movement of spirit. We can see the work and the effect of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerates our life. Our life will be gradually changed. How does the Holy Spirit change us? How are we changed? Suppose the Holy Spirit is here and our body is here. John Piper, you say something to describe how our life being changed by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is here inside us, and our body is here, our mind is here, and it changes us gradually. And then our whole being is being formed under the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand this metaphor? Is it clear? The Holy Spirit is inside us. Our life is being changed day by day, gradually. So bit by bit, our life is changed. But of course, in our worldly life, we cannot be perfect. We have a lot of limitations. We have lots of bad character. But in the long run, our life will be perfect when Jesus comes again. Our whole body will be changed. Everything will be renewed. Baptism cannot save your life. If you are going to have a baptism class and you want to be baptized, bear in mind that baptism is only the process, right? Only the stage that you say, you witness in front of people that you are a Christian. But baptism itself cannot save you. Water and Holy Spirit can give you new life. And then to see the kingdom of God, one has to be born of water and spirit. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born of word and spirit. Word is the Bible. Spirit, Holy Spirit. Right? God's word and God's spirit work inside us, and then our life will be changed. And also, Jesus used the history in the Old Testament time to tell Nicodemus, he himself, Jesus himself, is the Son of God. Now let's read here what did Jesus say. Let's read together. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, they did not listen to God's word. They were what? Blaming, or they were opposing Moses, because they say, why you brought us in this horrible place? Before we came here, we were in Egypt. Egypt is a very fertile place, very good place. We live there comfortably. Why you bring us here? When they have no food, no water to drink, they complain about this. Now let's see what is in the Bible. Let's read together. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. We detest the manna, because the manna was something from heaven for the Israelites to eat, but they were unsatisfied with these things. God provide remedy for those people because they are cursing, or they are blaming God, or they are turning from God, and they died. But God at that time tell Moses to do something, to put a post, right? And there's a snake there. If those people who were dead look, raise up their head, they will be saved. Jesus used this to represent that in the past, in history, Moses used this thing to cure, to have these people come to life. Now, in the New Testament time, in Jesus' time, he himself is the remedy. He himself is the cure for all these people. This is God used Jesus, his one and only Son, to the grace that people believe in him will be saved. Am I making myself clear? Do you understand? In the past, right, at present, Jesus now, because Nicodemus was very puzzled. Jesus is such a outstanding, such a miraculous person. He must be very different from other people. Now Jesus make himself clear. I am the one sent by God. He said, I am the Messiah. I am the person that the Israelites are looking forward to. He make himself clear. That's why Nicodemus understood. And also he said, he changed his mind. He was regenerated. God loved the world. He has to send Jesus Christ to save the whole world. In the past, Moses used the what? Snake, bronze snake, the pole snake, right, to help those dying, right, to solve the problem. But now Jesus was the person, was the Messiah, was the only one can give us help. We thank God that we can believe in this simple truth, right? Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the one sent by God. Only through Jesus we can be saved. God sent his only begotten Son and died on the cross for us. If Nicodemus has to be born again, so do you and so do I. If that one so learned, so what? So powerful among his group, so outstanding, so righteous. Nicodemus, a very highly respected person. If he has to be born again, we, small potatoes, you and I, have to be born again. Only through born again, we can be Christians. Also in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, the what? The prophet foretold that Holy Spirit will give us a soft heart so we can accept Jesus Christ. Our hearts are always very stubborn, always resisting outside things, We think we are the master of myself. I want to do this, I want to do that. I don't want to listen to anybody. But Ezekiel said, one day, the Holy Spirit will give us a soft heart so you can change yourself. The soft heart can accept things, absorb things, right? So our hearts will be changed. And also, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, we will pay some time being quiet, sitting there or lying on your bed or sitting on the sofa or even standing under the tree or under the roof somewhere. And you pay your time to meditate, to see who am I, what I have to do to have eternal life. It seems that eternal life is too far away, but in fact, nobody knows how long you can live, right? Many people will suddenly disappear. Our eternal life is the life of God that enters into the believer's life. God's eternal life becomes the believer's life. God is omnipotence, right? Omnipresence. God is forever. God is no beginning, no ending. God is eternal, eternity. In eternity, He Himself is the first cause. If we believe in Him, we enter into the eternal life. What is eternal life? That means from the time you begin to believe Jesus, you are into the eternity. Nicodemus, after being changed, he was courageous enough to speak against the Pharisees who want to kill Jesus, who want to arrest Jesus. Although Nicodemus did not change anything for the death of Jesus, he spoke courageously. He did his job, right? He cannot do revolution at that time. And also, Nicodemus risked his life to come to the Pharisees, to the high priest, to ask for Jesus' body, to let Jesus have a Jewish burial. That's important to the culture at that time. The Holy Spirit regenerates human being into spiritual life in a mysterious way. We don't know, right? Just mentioned, we are changed gradually. Trust in Jesus and follow the steps of the Holy Spirit that we can be born again. Our lives are molded, are changed, and as we continue to read the Bible, our perspective and our character, our personality, our value system, and our well-will will be regenerated. I think a Christian's well-will, a Christian's value system, a Christian's moral standard is differently in a great deal with those who are not believing in Jesus. So that's why we have to read the Bible. Application. So after this sermon, what you have to do? What you have to do after hearing about Nicodemus' visit to Jesus, after the several minutes I've been talking about. So the first thing, you have to come to Jesus so you can have eternal life. He is the only way. I'm the truth, the way, and life. And also, anything you need to give up. I don't know how often do you think about what person you are. In Chinese, we have Confucius saying, I have to think about myself three times a day. Yeah? Am I faithful? Am I trustworthy? Am I studying hard enough? Maybe I can speak in Mandarin, Guangdonghua, 五日三省吾身, 我每日三次 retrospect, think about myself. 罪人为人谋而不忠乎, 与朋友交而不信乎, 全不责乎, 全不责乎就是读书有没有温习啦, right? And how often do you think about yourself? So anything you have to give up in your life. Many people failed in life because they didn't go the right direction. They don't know what is right, what is wrong. Many people end in jails because they didn't have somebody to help them. So if you want to be changed, if your life, you want to enjoy a better living, and if you want to have a bright future, I think now we have the time to think, in my life, anything I have to give up, you have to abandon something. And also, the third thing is to reinforce your relationship with Jesus. Reinforce, that means spend more time with Jesus. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. So the only way to help you to make your life good, to give you a hope, to make you a part of the eternity of God, is coming to Jesus and to be born again. This is the only way. Okay, let's bow and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the story written in John about Nicodemus' visit to Jesus. And you told him you have to be born again. And we thank you that we hear this message, and we pray that our life will be born again. Our life will be regenerated. We want to change our old person. You want to be a new person. And Holy Spirit, dear Lord, help us to have a better understanding of your word and to be a better person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.